Opinions expressed in this episode are personal. They do not necessarily reflect the views of this streaming platform.
Good day, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Let's Be Diverse. I am your host, Andrew Stout. This episode is dedicated to all my loved ones who supported me through this journey. Those who have left us will always be in our hearts and never be forgotten. Today our topic is benefits of company retreats. Our guest today is Heather Wyatt. Welcome to the show, Heather. I appreciate you taking the time to chat with us today.
Thank you so much.
You're very, very welcome. How are things with you? What's new? What's going on? Give us the deets. Give us it all. What's going on?
Good. What's new is we're booking retreats for 2025 now and early 2026.
Wonderful.
I have been bouncing around, traveling a lot with in-person mini events that I'm doing in the U.S. and getting back to Costa Rica for events there. So life is fun and exciting.
So it's keeping you out of trouble a little bit then.
Well, I don't get in trouble to begin with.
Well, I'm glad to hear things are going well. It's amazing how this year just went by so fast. And I, too, am concentrating and getting stuff ready for 2025 already. I kind of found it a little bit weird to be talking about 2025 with people a couple of weeks ago. But now I'm noticing that most people are thinking the same way, so I don't feel as weird anymore about it. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's really interesting now that, you know, I live my life scheduling things in the future. It makes time go by a lot faster because it's like, oh, already this is coming up. This is coming up. So I've really found that interesting. I found time is really flying by because I'm constantly booking in the future, planning for the future. So I try to live as presently as possible, despite that.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, I'm glad to hear that things are going well. Before we begin and get into the nut and bolts of this conversation, I always have a fun, thought-provoking question for my guests to get things going. Are you ready for yours today, Heather?
Yes, let's hear it.
So your question is, what is something that always makes you laugh?
Oh man, I don't have a good answer for that because I'm actually a very serious person. I don't fake laugh.
Okay.
I'm not very expressive.
Right.
So I really don't have a good answer for something that always makes me laugh.
So do you have a good laugh every once in a while? Like what would be something that would make you have a good laugh?
You know, I can't even say something that would make me laugh because it has to be genuine and in the moment. I don't like comedy. I hate comedy. I don't like when people try to be funny. See, I'm very boring, actually.
No, not at all.
When somebody tells me they're a comedian and a funny person, I'm like, oh, great. Now they're going to do things on purpose to try to make me laugh that aren't funny, and I'm going to have to force laugh. So, yeah, I'm very much in the moment. It has to be spontaneous, actually funny, and genuine to get me to laugh. But the good thing about that is if I'm laughing, you know it's genuine, and it's not forced. I don't disguise my feelings for anyone.
Well, that's good. You're absolutely right. I think we are forced laughing. It's not genuine. So when you are laughing, that means it's genuine. So it means it is good, where sometimes you're right. Sometimes people will come up with something and we'll kind of have a kind of like a fake laugh, as you called it, and it's not really funny. So I like to have a good, I call it a gut busting laugh, which means that I'm laughing for like a long period of time. And that happens very, very seldom because there's not much out there that is going to make you laugh hysterically like that. So when it does happen, it's pretty cool.
They're more spontaneous moments when those things happen.
Yes, absolutely. Well, thanks for having fun with me. I loved your thought answer, even though you don't think that it was a good answer. I love that you put some thought into it. Why don't we start off with you telling us a little about you, your story, and of course, your why.
So yeah, about me. I am from New Jersey. I sold all of my stuff last year about this time, and I moved over to Costa Rica. My business is there. I help people plan retreats in Costa Rica, which is a lot of fun. I get to bring people's visions to life. And, you know, as I stated earlier, I'm not a terribly fun person. You'll never find me in the center of anything. I enjoy being behind the scenes doing the things people think are boring. It's what I thrive in. So I like creating experiences for other people to have genuine fun. And I think that's maybe because I am such a serious, non-expressive person. I like bringing out those moments for other people and creating them.
That makes total sense. When you're in the business of what you do, then it is important that they have a better time than you. So I could definitely see that. And you want to have them maybe repeat, or you want them to refer. So you want them to have a good experience so that they'll look at doing it again, or like I said, refer to somebody else. So I could totally see where you're going on that.
For sure.
So when we get into the bones of it, what is the goal of a company retreat?
Well, that depends. I mean, that's the first thing we want to find out when a company is planning this retreat. What is the purpose? Why are they having this event? Why do they want to do it? And what's the outcome of it? And that's different for many people. Sometimes it's just an incentive trip where it's a fun gathering and that's it. Sometimes it is purposeful. It's to teach continuing education material or to boost team morale. So it really all depends. And unfortunately, in this business, when you're creating custom experiences, there's never one right answer, I think. A lot of it depends on what the people want, what it is we're creating, because each one is different. I can say, yes, they're all retreats in Costa Rica, but they're all different based on what the client wants.
So you're saying it depends. Obviously, you have a conversation with the businesses and find out exactly what it is that they're looking for, because I imagine that a lot of them have never done this type of thing before. So they're looking for suggestions as far as how to do it and maybe help them with their goal.
Yeah, absolutely. So they might not know what they're doing. They might not know exactly what it is they want during the experience. That's why I like to work backwards. What is it? Why do you want this retreat? What is it you're trying to, what's the outcome that you want from it? Mm-hmm. And like I said, is it just for fun? We don't care. We just want to have a good time, reward our people. Or, you know what? We really want to boost team culture. We're all remote. We don't get to see each other at all. So in that instance, it's a little more bonding. They're all bonding, but we work backwards. What's the outcome? What do you hope to accomplish? And then we start creating from there.
So how do you organize these retreats? I know we're talking about goals. What's the first things that you talk about? How do you set up this for the organizations?
Well, it's a lot of, you know, questions, wanting to know what that vision is. Like I said, what's the outcome? We need to know a budget for sure. We want to know something I like to do, especially when you're in Costa Rica and you have all of these little kind of eco-climates.
Right.
You can be near the beach, you can be near the lake, near volcanoes, and, you know, the rainforest, of course, and they all have their different energies. So even the location and the venues, we try to match up with the experience that you're trying to create. The activities that we do are all being matched up with the outcome that you want. So everything is flowing together nicely. That's really the basis of it. That's the very beginning, is just finding out and asking a lot of questions to find out what the vision is for the outcome, so that we can do the boring stuff and find the right venues, find the right location, how many people you're going to have here. A big thing now with everyone is food. What are their dietary requirements? Everyone has nearly some sort of dietary restriction these days. So it has to be super important to accommodate that. And venues in Costa Rica can go from completely vegan to vegetarian, flexitarian. A lot of them are very much farm to table and sustainable. And those are the venues that we like to work with. So even if you don't have restrictions, you're still eating local and fairly healthy. But that's definitely a big part of it. We just need to be able to accommodate a variety of things.
And of course, if they're needing any sound microphone, if they're needing any that type of stuff is also come into play as well, right?
Yes, definitely. So if all you need is a yoga shala, that's a lot different than a larger group of people where you need AV equipment and the space to be able to accommodate a presentation like that. So of course, that all depends too. What kind of teachings are going on? What kind of programming? And yeah, that also plays a big part with the venues that we choose and the accommodations that we have to make.
Some would say that retreats are ineffective at fixing conflict between team members. Why do you think that is?
Who says that?
There's a lot of conversations that I've had, and is that it doesn't fix the immediate problems, which I am not sure that I believe, because I'm one of those people that is diversity of thought thinking. So there's always a different way of looking at things. So I respect people's opinion. Doesn't mean that their opinion is correct, but I do think that there are people out there who do feel it's ineffective or it's not a good way to spend money in order to fix those issues. I think it would be a good way, but I'd like to hear your opinion on that.
Well, I'll start by saying in the workplace, especially in life, there are people that we will just never get along with.
Right.
And there are certain people in, you know, that I know, and they are lovely people. I just don't want anything to do with them. And, right. You know, and that's what it is. There are people I've worked with that we can do our job well, or we can't, or we haven't been able to, but we have to, you know, you have to be able to work with people. And I will tell you, you might find this surprising because I'm such a ball of joy. I'm not the easiest person to work with other people, because I'm very serious. I don't play at work. Like, I need to get stuff done. Like, you get stuff done, then we can screw around and play. I don't have patience for people that don't. So that's been my conflict in the workplace. And so I'll go into saying, so when you have a retreat, a couple things are happening. Now you get these same people in a laid back environment where you see a different side of them, because on the contrary, I am more fun when I'm not in work. Surprise, like many people are. And I found that when you have that other perspective and view of a person, you can go back in the workplace, be like, ah, she's being super annoying right now, but whatever. I know that's just how she is at work. And you just have a more compassion towards people. You see a different side. And I'm sure this has happened to you too. When you kind of sit down and you let loose with someone, or you actually spend time and have a meal with someone, I like to know people's stories and the why about them. Sometimes knowing people's stories and having that viewpoint gives you more understanding and patience. And so those are definitely things that can help just a work environment, which is why you might want to have a retreat. But then the other side of it is, now problem employee, let's just say myself, I'm challenging at work. You know what? I just had this nice vacation. Maybe I'm not so wound up. I've gotten time to pause and work on me and do something good for me. Now, when I'm going back into the office, I'm not such a crazy person and so wound up and, you know, making others uncomfortable. It's kind of, so you're working on both avenues there. So just taking everyone out of the environment, letting them work on themselves, whether you're doing team trainings or not, or it's just a fun thing, everyone's going back into the office a different person, hopefully.
I totally agree with you 100% on what you said there, because I do believe that, yes, when you are in a different environment other than the office, you're going to be a little bit different. And there are some people who maybe a little bit wound up or what have you in the office that are going to kind of let loose and be open to sharing a little bit more about themselves rather than in an office atmosphere. Because I know you say that you are a serious person. There are a lot of people like yourself that I know that are very, very serious when they go into work. They're there to work. They're there to do their job. They start, they end. And at the end of the day, they can concentrate on other stuff. But for the time that they're there, they're focused on their work primarily. In reality, that's what we're paid for. We're paid to do our job. We're not paid to make people like us any more or any less. We're there to do our tasks and what our bosses or leaders are expecting of us. So I totally get that. But it is an opportunity to open up, let loose a little bit. Some people will unwind. Some of them might share some stories. And I am a firm believer in storytelling. So that is a great opportunity, or it's a great venue for people to maybe open up and tell stories about themselves or experiences that they may have had. And what better place to do that than in a retreat and in Costa Rica? Like, what better place to do that? For sure. So do you think that company retreats will become more relevant in the future?
You know, I really do think so. In fact, I was just exchanging messages with somebody this morning, and she's like, wow, retreats are everywhere right now. I know, it's a thing. And I'm hoping more and more companies and corporations are realizing that it's a good thing to spend money on.
Right.
It can save you money in the long term, because, you know, the whole thing with company wellness, this is an extension of that. happy, healthy employees are better employees. Mm-hmm. So I'm hoping people see that this is a good reason to spend money and just put more into their employees. I mean, I don't have to name any studies. We all know happy employees will work harder for their company. And when they feel like they're invested, when they feel like their company takes care of them, they will put more effort into their work. Mm.
I always talk about what I call a safe work environment. And this will allow you, I think, or it's a good part of having a safe work environment. So I would say since the pandemic, I think people are looking for a lot more in their employees or in the organizations that they work for. So yes, we want to make good money so we can eat, put food on the table, take care of our kids, take care of the bills. We get that. But I think organizations also have to understand that we are looking for an environment where there's wellness, where there's different things, where companies are organizing different activities or things to make it more enjoyable to come to work. And this would be a great example of that. And if I was a head of an organization, I would definitely consider that this, because I think it is a great way to get away. You're away from the office, you're out of the country, you're out of the realm, you're not at home, and everything is taken care of for you. And you're all you're doing is getting together and talking about important specific things or whatever the topic is, or however you're doing it. Like you said earlier, it's a great way to do that. And I would definitely, I'm all for it. I think it's a great thing. And I am with you 100%. I am hearing tons about this. This is why I wanted to talk about this today, because I'm hearing more and more in conversations and just reading up stuff and stuff online. It's getting out there more and more than I would say 3-4 years ago.
Yeah, I think so. And especially since 2020, you know, that's when we started seeing a decline in, you know, quality workers.
Right.
Since then, people want to work in a good environment, and good employees are harder and harder to find. Mm-hmm. So you need to be able to attract them, and then you need to be able to keep them. And this is going into a whole other conversation, but especially as the younger generation is coming into the workplace, I don't care, this is a fact, they have less work ethic than generations previous. I'm from the 80s.
Right.
So like myself, I'm 40 now, the 20-year-olds coming in, they do not have the same work ethic. They probably have a different set of skills than I do. But everybody, or many of that generation, is looking for quick income. Everybody wants to be an entrepreneur and be their own boss and have their own business. There are less people attracted to working in an office 9-to-5, let alone a place where it's not a good environment.
I totally agree with you 100% there. And I think we do have a different work ethic. I remember years ago when my mother was still alive and she was working at a bank. We're talking 20 years ago. She was seeing that there was more and more people that were retired, that they were trying to get the bank, they were trying to get them to come back, the people, the retired people, because they were noticing that the work ethic just wasn't there. So they wanted to get these people, say, hey, you know, we'll offer you this. You don't have to work 40 hours a week, but if we offered you 15, 20 hours a week, would you consider coming back? So it is evident. And this was about 15, 20 years ago. So, you know, things are even changing even more for sure. I definitely noticed that.
That's interesting that that was happening at that time as well. And we are, as a culture, just becoming more aware of, we shouldn't be living our lives working to death, mm-hmm. but there is a little bit of balance.
Sure.
I think when you're working, yes, you should be working. And when you play, you play. If you work harder during your work hours, you can have less of those work hours and more play hours.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So what is one takeaway that you want our audience to get from this episode?
I hope people see the value in having a retreat and the benefits that it offers. It might seem like spending money up front, but it really pays off in the long term. It's something, even before I've had this business, I've always spent my money on experiences and travel, mm-hmm. because those are the things that pay off in the long run over material things.
Mm. I firmly agree with you on that. My thoughts are, you're working for an organization, like I said earlier, yes, we're looking for the pay, but we also want experience, and we want memorable experiences, and we want when we're talking about the organizations that we work for, what better way to talk about your organization and story tell about your organization by talking about your, not just your work experiences, but the things that you have done. I was talking to somebody the other day and they were telling me that they all work from home, but every Wednesday they send out messages on Teams every Tuesday, and Wednesday morning they all do what they call a coffee chat. So they do a one-on-one. So each person picks somebody and they do a 15-minute coffee chat with that individual. And they don't talk about work. They just talk about whatever, what's going on in their lives, what's happening, what's new. And for me, that person was telling me this because it was memorable. It was something that they enjoyed about the organization that they worked in. And for me, that's important. And if you have an organization and you decide to do a retreat, I can guarantee you that that employee is going to go on and they're going to tell somebody else and they're going to talk about their memorable and enjoyable experience that they had at that retreat with their company. And who knows, maybe that person that they're talking to works for another company, or they're a head of an organization and they decide to go to their higher ups and they decide to present that to their company and say, hey, this is what a friend of mine did and it did wonders for their organization. You know, maybe we should look into that. So, you know, if I was going to give a call to action today, I would definitely say, if you were an organization or if you're somebody listening today and you're considering doing it, I would definitely look into it, because I would say by far, this would be a definitely a memorable experience, not just for the organization, but each individual employee. Heather, I want to take the time to thank you for coming on today. I've really wanted to have this conversation with you for a long time. I know that our schedules didn't come together, but I'm super happy. I spoke just before we started taping that I was really excited about this. I woke up this morning and I saw that we were going to be doing this today and I was super excited. I think it's a super important topic. Thank you so much for your time today. I really appreciate you as an individual and as a person for sure.
It's absolutely my pleasure, Andrew. Thank you so much. I'm glad we got it worked out.
I am so too. So on behalf of myself and my guest, Heather, I'd like to take the time to thank you all for listening. And until next time, be safe and remember, everybody, that if we all work together, we can accomplish anything.
You have been listening to Let's Be Diverse with Andrew Stout. To stay up to date with future content, hit subscribe.